This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for KnowHow is brought to you by CashFly.
Today on KnowHow,
taking video with your phone
and how to action cam. Welcome to KnowHow. This is the show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm your host, Brian Burnett.
And I'm Nathan Olivares-Giles.
And today we're getting the mobile stuff together with our phones.
Yeah, we're going so mobile. Basically, this is going to be kind of a beginner's guide to shooting video and editing video on your phone. Just a few apps that we like and that we use on both iOS and Android. And really kind of the basics and really some stuff that you can also apply to shooting photos as well. If you know, this is kind of if you're not sure you want to spend the money on a Final Cut Pro or spend the money on a Premiere.
Right.
And you just want to kind of play around with your phone a little bit, we're going to show you how to shoot some slick video.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times phones sometimes get taken for granted. The horsepower that they have. Like this, the camera on my Nexus 6 is much better than any camera I used prior to like 2014.
Oh yeah,
you know, like I have a DSLR that takes pretty decent pictures, but I mean, my phone will give it a run for its money. And I think when we were talking about doing this episode, there's a lot of basics that you can still learn for shooting video using your phone. Like there's a lot of things that carry over no matter what device you're using, but something that everybody usually has on hand is a smartphone, and these are pretty capable of taking like pretty great video. I mean, at least 1080p with my phone. A lot of newer phones do 4K
and
at 30 frames per second, which is pretty impressive.
Those are great points. When I first started shooting and editing video, it was in college, and we had like some like little Sony Handycams. When I graduated, my dad bought me a Vivitar camera from Best Buy. It was like a house brand, and it was terrible. Everything was muddy. I had a first generation iPhone, and it wasn't even, I don't even remember if it was capable of a video at that point.
Yeah.
But that old camera was terrible. I actually made some videos with that camera back when I was at the LA Times. We published them, and they're atrocious. They're still on the internet. They're some of the things I'm most ashamed of in my life. But you gotta use what you got.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is that these phones, like you said, they're light years away what we were using as professionals not that long ago.
Yeah, I think actually one of the first cameras I used was our technical director's
Digital Elf? The original Digital Elf.
Right.
My dad's camera.
Digital Elf.
Would it do video? Like 4x3 at 480 or something?
Video.
Okay, yeah, I don't think it did.
Just stills.
Just stills, but that was like the first camera I ever used and learned how to like what rules of thirds were, what like perspective.
And we're going to talk about some of those things today. We're going to talk about the rule of thirds. We're going to talk about lighting basics, just kind of how to compose and frame a shot.
Yeah.
Really, really basic stuff, but the sort of thing that kind of gets lost these days when we're sharing so much stuff to Instagram or to Facebook or to Twitter and Snapchat. And part of the charm with those apps, of course, is it's raw. You can just share it. You don't have to worry if it looks good or not. Maybe you can slap a filter on it, but no one's talking about like composure and all stuff. This is a step above that. This is the sort of thing that, you know, if you want to take maybe like a good family, you know, video or a great photo of your friend or a portrait or, you know, that kind of whatever. These are some of the ideas and principles you can get to that.
Right.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned shooting on a DSLR. I've done a lot of shooting in the past on DSLRs, a lot of Canon cameras for me mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, if you are kind of curious, you think you might want to buy a DSLR, maybe you want to go buy a Rebel, or maybe you want to spend some money on like a 5D or something crazy like that.
Right.
That can be thousands of dollars, not to mention
it's
buying lenses. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like before you go and spend that money, play with your phone, see if you even like this stuff, see if you're even into it. If you find yourself doing this a lot, if it becomes a habit, then it might be worth investing in like a decent camera.
Yeah, and one of my favorite photographers, and I mean this applies for video too, one of his things he told me was the best camera you have is the one that you have on you at the moment that you want to record or take a picture of something. So that was Trey Ratcliffe, who was like, it doesn't matter what camera you have, if it's the one that you have on you when the moment strikes for recording a video or taking a photo. So
yeah,
that's your phone.
That's a great point, because you could spend thousands and thousands of dollars on like all the top gear you want, but you can still shoot a terrible photo and video with that great stuff.
Yeah, totally.
And there are folks who can do more with a phone than some might be able to do with expensive gear. There was this film that came out a few years ago by a fellow named Sean Baker. It came out 2 years ago, actually, called Tangerine. And the whole thing was shot on an iPhone in the Los Angeles area. It's a film about two transsexual women and kind of a day in their life. Hmm. It's a comedy. It was a pretty groundbreaking film. If you want to see what you're really capable of with a smartphone, Tangerine is a great film to check out. I think it's on Netflix and definitely on iTunes and Google Play and all this stuff. You can usually get it pretty cheap because it was an independent film, so it's like usually on sale for like $5 or $10.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was shot on an app called Filmic Pro. That's one of the apps I'm going to show you guys right now.
Oh, cool.
The great thing about that versus, say, the standard camera app, and Filmic Pro is available for both iOS and Android, is, you know, you can see, like, audio levels. You can do filters. You can get your grid for your rule of thirds. We're going to kind of just show you the basics of that. Sure. It's not a cheap app. It's maybe about, like, $20. But spending $20 on a high-quality video app versus spending, you know, $3,500 on a camera body for, like, a DSLR. DSLR that full frame, 60, you know, 1080p, maybe 4K. This is kind of a great place to start.
Yeah, totally. Well, should we take a look then?
Let's jump right into it. So here's the basic user interface for Filmic Pro. You can see there's a lot more going on than whatever camera app that you have on whatever phone you're using. But don't be intimidated or afraid of all the stuff that you see here.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff down here.
Yeah, across the bottom, This little green bar is actually your audio levels, which is pretty neat. If you do invest in a microphone that you can plug into your smartphone, then you'll see the levels moving down here. It works out pretty good. My hand is mostly blocking the back mic, which this is largely using, so you're not seeing the levels move too much. But it's a good way to tell if your audio is what we call hot or if you're blowing things out. So, you know, maybe you're shooting some video and the audio sounds like crap after the fact when, like, everybody in the family say, like, does a cheer or laughs or something like that. Usually you'll see this bar at the bottom go into a red color. That means things are kind of being blown out.
And yeah, if you see it bouncing off, like, over here.
Yeah. And with this, you can actually get in there and even see, like, a histogram of things if you'd like as well. There are a lot of different options for this little menu bar, which is pretty great. Here you hit this little settings, cog, and you have lots of different options. We're going to turn on what's called a guide, and it might be a little bit faint here, but basically you see these kind of like silver and black lines, and it's basically breaking up the film into three sections horizontally and vertically. And this is what we call the rule of thirds. So right now I have Brian lined up here on this line, so he's in this third of the image. And basically the idea is, and we'll kind of move around a little bit, you can see me watching myself in the background, this camera angle. But the basic idea is that you're giving space for Brian to go. If he's going to walk across the shot, you give a place for your eye to go. You know, you're composing the scene rather than just kind of like zooming in specifically on his face or, you know, shoulders up or something like that. You don't know where he's at. You don't have the context of what he's doing. And when you're thinking about composing a picture, there are things, concepts such as leading the viewer's eye into the scene and into what you're trying to get them to see, getting them to kind of see the details and things like that. So this grid is something you can turn on your stock phone apps as well for pretty much every iOS and Android device. And this is something you can use for both photo and video. What you can't see off camera here is actually a bunch of lights that we have set up in front of Brian. So right now he looks pretty good. He might look a little washed out because the screen brightness and the camera adjusting for my phone. But what you're seeing when you're watching Know How on, you know, your favorite video service or our website is good lighting. That's because we have the lights kind of up front of us. The reason I bring this up is because if you're shooting maybe outside and you have the sun behind someone and people look dark, too dark, That's because you're shooting into the light. Just turn them around, put the sun behind you, use the sun as your light. Kind of a basic lighting concept. Sometimes people will use lights both in front and back, things called the hair light. That's maybe a little bit higher level, but yeah. Just as a basic lighting rule.
Yeah, we've got a couple of hair lights up there.
Yeah, as a basic lighting rule, it's good to basically kind of know where your main source of light is and adjust to it as necessary. So that's pretty great. Other things that I really like about Filmic Pro here, if you do really want to get into things and you start playing around and get a little bit more serious with style and all that, there are actually there's a nice color picker here. You can actually kind of play with the color temperature, so you can make things a little bit more blue, a little bit more red, and you can kind of find a style that works for you, which is pretty nice. And this might be the difference between, say, you know, if you notice like the Avengers has kind of a more muted color palette, and then you watch something that maybe looks a little brighter, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, how do they do that? Well, sometimes it's done in the post situation. But if you want to actually experiment here, you can do that on the fly. There are also different settings for if you're outdoors, if you're looking for a light, and also an auto white balance.
You can
adjust things and kind of make things a little bit more natural looking. In case you play around, you're like, oh, that looks like crap. I want to go back to something that looks good. Just hit that auto white balance button, and there you are. So it can be a pretty deep app the more and more you get into it. Mm-hmm. But the basics here are really great for if you want to shoot video, and it offers a lot more than you're going to get, say, from, you know, the stock camera app.
Now, can you do autofocus, or is it like tap to focus on?
Yeah, so you tap the, let's see here, you tap the device button, and then you can actually enable a lot of different things. So you can do an orientation lock, so you stay either horizontal or vertical. You can save it to your remote. There's actually a remote app, so say you have an iPad, you have a phone, someone's walking around with the phone, you can be on your iPad like triggering it. It's pretty nice. And then here you can turn on what's called snap focus. And so that's if you want to actually lock the focus in place. But right now I don't have that turned on. So if I want to set the focus, I just have to tap with my finger and it'll adjust, which is pretty great and simple to use. I'm falling out of the frame there. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
There's also a nice little thing here called torch. And basically your back, the camera on the back of your phone is turned off. But if you want, you can actually use this to turn on the intensity, and it'll turn on your back camera flash to turn on the light. So you can see here the differences. And, you know, this can give you a little bit of an onboard light, so to speak, if maybe you're shooting in a dark situation and you wanna play with that a little bit more. You can see the differences here in different intensities. So, you know, if before you go and spend money on a light for your phone or a camera, this is kind of a good way to even play with it and understand what that means and what if that's good for you or not. There's also a stabilization mode you can use. And if you are using a content management system, if you're using something like Premiere Pro or Final Cut, mm-hmm. you can actually go in here and, you know, label your scenes and your takes and say, okay, this is for the know-how the movie, you know, know-how Padre Strikes Back, you know,
right.
The Revenge of Ryan, whatever you want to call it. And you can put that kind of stuff in here too, which is pretty great. So there's a lot of really awesome, like I said, it can be a pretty deep app once you get into it. You can even adjust the frame rate as well. So
that's cool.
Yeah, there's a ton of great options. And like I said, that film Tangerine that was shot entirely on an iPhone, mm-hmm. The film that the app that they actually used was this one, Filmic Pro. Like I said, it's available for iOS and Android. It's $20. It's not cheap. But if you're saying, hey, you know what, I think I'm on to get into a little guerrilla filmmaking. I think I want to see if this works. Maybe you're trying to, you know, do that passion project or, like I said, the family weekend movie for vacations or whatever. it's a great option and a great place to start either way.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of software to pack into in such a small package right there.
Yeah, it's pretty elaborate. I mean, there's so many features here that I have used on my DSLRs in the past, mm-hmm. and so many that I wish I had on my DSLRs in the past. And it's all just in an app, which is pretty great. It's fairly sophisticated stuff, all things considered. But what I like about it is the user interface is simple enough. So if you see all these things, you're intimidated, you're not sure what to do, just go on and turn on your grid so you have your rule of third, you can understand composure, think about your lighting, and then just, you know, press record, and there you go. And then start playing with it again, you know, retake a scene, just kind of experiment with it, see what works for you, see what you like. And over time, as you start digging into it, there will be more and more. And then you can also save your stuff to your camera roll, or you can keep it in the app, whatever works for you.
Okay.
So there are good options there, too.
So now that you have, if you have video recorded on there, what do you use to edit it? You can't. Is there anything in that app to edit?
Yeah. Well, in fact, I'm using. There are different options. I've been using an app called LumaFusion lately. iMovie is another great choice, and Adobe Clip. You're going to talk a little bit about that one later. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, I've mostly been using Final Cut Pro, and also playing with Adobe Premiere as well. But these are great mobile options. Now I'll move back to the desk so you guys can see that.
Come on back.
Come on down.
That's cool.
Yeah, not bad, huh? All right.
We'll really want to watch Tangerine, though.
It's a really interesting film. Like, you wouldn't think it was shot on an iPhone. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty great.
I'd like to see, like, behind the scenes and see how they did audio and stuff, too.
Like. Yeah. I mean, they definitely had, like, a good... They probably had, like, a ring light. They had some, like, legit mics. And then they went in afterwards and did some color grading and all stuff. Yeah. But it's a really neat-looking film. So, cool. So we'll go to the overhead. So here in this video folder that I put together for this episode, let's start with iMovie. It's if you have an iPhone, it's basically a free app. You just go to the App Store mm-hmm. and you can get it. And it is one of the more simple ways to get started on video editing. It's not necessarily the best or most robust tool once you get deep and you start getting into it, but it's a great place to start. Again, these are the basics. These are the things you want to be playing with to see if you even like this stuff before you spend the money on some of the big boy apps. So here with iMovie, it's real simple. Basically, you can create a project, and I created a little test project for us here, and then you can add in different video clips. I was recently at a little art gallery event that some friends threw. There was, you know, a rapper in the patio back there.
Nice.
And I just kind of lay this stuff down. It's real simple. Basically adding a clip, you just hit the plus button. You go into your, you know, video and photo, you know, section from your camera roll. And you can just take whatever you'd like. Real simple. So I pull these in from my camera roll.
Okay.
And it's just a basic timeline. You can just kind of drag and drop stuff as needed if you want to move it around.
Oh, yeah. And then there's the, like, basically two triangles together. Does that represent, like, a crossfade, or is that just...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That fades from one to the other. And there are a lot of different options to play with if you want to go from a dissolve, if you want to go from, like, a straight-up swipe from one video clip into the next. You can see the different options in real time. So it's a really fast and easy way to play with whatever it is that you want to get into. And it's a really nice, like, simple kind of tool to do, like, the basics of video editing. This, like the other app that I'm going to show you, works in both a portrait and a landscape editing mode. You know, with the stuff that we're using on laptops, whether it's Premiere or it's Final Cut, you know, or iMovie is available on your desktop as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're mostly going to be thinking in kind of like a horizontal space. You're going to have your clips laid out. But this is one of the few video apps that I actually prefer using in portrait. Just I feel like you can kind of see things. There's a little bit more space to play around, which is pretty nice. And then once you're done with that, you can save the movie to your camera roll. You can upload it to whatever, you know, service or social media you want.
Right.
And then it's just if you're using, you know, Google Photos, then it's pulling stuff from your camera roll. It'll be there. If you're using Apple's Photos service, iCloud or whatever, it'll be there. So it's kind of a really easy way to get it. Since this is something that Apple makes, it's only available on the iPhone
right.
And Mac computers. But there's also LumaFusion, which, it, you know, if you like iMovie, you're kind of getting the hang for it. You want to take things a step further, but you're not sure you want to, again, spend the money on Final Cut or Premiere Pro. I think LumaFusion is kind of a step in that direction. Here you can see a lot more is going on. Basically, this is a more traditional layout. So you have your preview window here. You have your source clips here. So this is tied into my video folder and my camera roll. You still have your timeline, but you're not seeing the video, like a video clip down here. What you're seeing is basically like little waveforms for your audio files. You can see how long the clip is. And it's still just as easy to, like, you know, drag and drop stuff around and move things around if you want.
Oh, yeah.
But this also gives you the option to lay video on top of it, on top of other clips. So say you want the audio from one clip, but you want the visuals from another. This gives you the option to do that, and whatever's on the top is what you're going to see.
That's pretty slick.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty slick. And it has a more traditional layout. So in this one, you can still use it in a portrait orientation, which works out just fine. But I think this one versus iMovie gives you a more traditional look for a landscape orientation. Now, these work on iPads too.
Right.
But if you just want to do something quick and on the fly, this is actually going to offer an interface that is going to mimic what you're going to see on those apps like Final Cut and Adobe Premiere. And so it's kind of a nice tool for your pocket. This app is also $20, so it's not cheap.
Okay.
So if you bought Filmic Pro and say you bought this, that's $40. But again, $40 is a lot less than, say, $3,500 for a nice high-end DSLR. Yep. Or, you know, maybe, like, let's say $800 for, like, a Canon Rebel or something.
Right.
And then maybe $700 or maybe, what is it, $500 for Final Cut now or whatever. I think when it first came out, it was $700. I think they dropped the price down to $500.
I think so.
And Adobe, I mean, you can get those apps on a subscription every month.
Right, which is what we do here. We have the Creative Cloud subscription.
Yeah, so, which is a great service because if you're using any Adobe apps, you can store your content in the cloud. You can basically start a project on a mobile device, finish it on a laptop.
Move it,
that's part of the appeal. Doesn't always work out that way in practice, but it's a really great service overall, I feel like. And it's getting better. They're adding updates. They're adding new features. Mm-hmm. It's actually come a long way from when it first launched. But even that, that's, I think, at least $10 a month or something like that.
I think it's like $10 or $12 a month, but it's a lot cheaper than just buying the program outright.
Yes.
And then you continually get, like, the newest version.
So you don't have to spend, like... Yeah, I mean, not that long ago, we were spending, $1,500 every 3 years for a new version of Photoshop or a new version of Final Cut or a new version of whatever. So the subscription world that Adobe is, you know, pushing users to with the Creative Cloud, if you always want the latest, greatest software, it's not a bad place to be.
No, it isn't. But I like with these mobile apps kind of mimicking a full desktop editing situation.
Yeah.
If you do get comfortable kind of using these and then you start to feel limited or something, it won't be such a transition if you start using any video editing application on like a desktop, because I think when I first started I used Vegas and then I used Final Cut and then I've used Premiere, and if you learn one of them or any of these or even like ones on the phone, a lot of those same ideas and basic concepts transfer over really easily.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I like the first video editing app I used was Windows Movie Maker. They don't even make that anymore.
But you and like all of the internet back in 2006.
I was just using that, then of course getting into iMovie, then getting into Final Cut, and then when Apple went from Final Cut 7 to 10, the user interface was totally different. A bunch of my video editing friends were like, this is blasphemous. I'm never going to use Final Cut again. You know, people started going into Avid. People started going into Premiere in big ways. And so I gave Premiere a shot, and it felt so much like Final Cut 7. It was very familiar. Obviously, there's a learning curve, and there's a little bit of an intimidation factor. Yeah. But then you get into it, and I kept up with Premiere and Final Cut over those years. And there's a lot that's different. There's a lot that's similar. You got to find your workflow. You got to find the apps that work for you.
Yeah.
But... you know, if you go from iMovie to LumaFusion to Premiere or to Final Cut, it'll be a lot less jarring than if you went straight from, you know, iMovie into Premiere Pro, and then you're like, whoa, this is totally different.
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, like we were talking about with the Adobe stuff, though, the one I've used a fair bit on the phone is called Adobe Clip.
And it's a great app.
If you're already in like the Adobe ecosystem with Premiere and stuff, it's a good one to try out. And it's on iOS and on Android, unlike iMovie, you know. But I've got some notifications here I'm going to clear. But if you want to go to the overhead, I'll show off that app. Where did I hide it? Oh, yeah, it's at the top. So This is one that I like to use for my phone when I just want to, like, throw a bunch of clips together.
Mm-hmm.
Don't send a crash report to me. Because sometimes, like, I'll record something on my phone, and it's kind of a pain to then upload the video so then I can edit it on my desktop. And it's just some simple clips that I want to throw together. And in the case of one of the videos that I made, it was me and Padre. Mm-hmm. He was filming me trying to put the water jug onto the water cooler. And so he had a video, and then a coworker of ours was also taking a video. So then they both sent me the video clips, and I downloaded them to my phone, and it was easy enough just to throw like the three clips together that I have down here at the bottom.
And suddenly you have a little sequence. You have you grabbing the water bottle, you have it putting it down, you have you celebrating after the fact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, celebrating. I'll show you the finished product. I exported it. And when you export from the app, you can either save it to your gallery or save to the Creative Cloud or mm-hmm. publish and share. You have a few options of what you want.
Or go directly to YouTube if you're feeling that great about it.
Yeah, which I'm never confident enough just to send something straight to YouTube like that.
Yeah.
But if you're using the Adobe Cloud stuff, it'll upload to your portfolio that you kind of have. And I mm-hmm. think, let's see, if I go to the website, if you flip uh-huh. over to my laptop, Al, it's like assets.adobe.com, and you can basically share your stuff here and then grab them from a different computer or something. So there's some drawings that my brother did when he uploaded this
stuff. Wow, those are fantastic, by the
way. Yeah, he's very... Yeah, I know, right? Like, we did our own drawing thing, and then...
Yeah.
Thanks, Greg, for making me feel bad. but where... Let's see. Premiere Clip. So if you do use Adobe, you can upload this and view it here.
So this is one of your source files, and then I saw you had another folder that said... Premiere Clip Export. So this is where like your original files exist, and then Export is where the finished product, if you feel like it,
exactly.
is there, which is nice. Sorry to interrupt, but all of these apps are what is called non-destructive editing. So as you're going in there and you're shortening a clip, you're you know, playing with the audio levels, whatever, your original source files stay intact,
right?
Which is really important to know, because don't feel bad like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to alter this, like, am I going to mess it up? You're not going to with these apps. The source files stay intact. In this editing environment, you're able to manipulate things as you want. And if you make a mistake, you can usually undo things, or you can just scrap the project and start over.
Right,
it's going to be okay. But feel secure in being able to just play around and learn as you go.
Yeah, don't worry about losing or writing over something that you already recorded.
Like, yeah.
That won't be the case unless you... specifically delete those files later, but I don't see why you would. But if you go back to the top shot, you can also see basically the audio levels there on the clip. You can quickly like move it around by holding down, pretty much like the other apps that you showed. You can change the different transitions, but also if you want, oh, that's to share, you can do audio fade in, fade out.
Nice.
Smart volume control. So if you, it'll be increased or decreased the audio so that it's consistent. Because there's nothing more annoying than like, you know, turning up the volume when you hear a clip is really quiet, and then like something happens and it gets really loud. So if you have a clip that has these highs and lows, you can kind of negate that by turning on smart volume, and it'll try and keep the volume at a consistent level.
That's pretty great, because editing audio is still one of the toughest things for me. I feel like, I've called it in the past from folks I learned from, sculpting audio, really making sure that all the audio sounds easy. It's kind of nice, you know, to hear in this app, it'll do it for you. It's somewhat intelligent. And then, later on, once you kind of get more of a feel for these things, then you can take your own tact on editing and balancing audio levels. But it's nice to not have to worry about that out the gate here.
Right. And a lot like Instagram or whatever your filter app of choice is, they have a bunch of different ones that you can just throw on real quick you want to kind of stylize it. But also, if you're throwing some clips together and you want to put some music underneath it because it's Quiet Audio or something, there are some stock songs that you can use, none of which are terrific, but there is also the option to lay down one of your own tracks or something that you have saved to your phone. I don't have any music saved to my phone because
I was really hoping you had the Benny Hill song in the background to lay under this.
Typically, I would.
That would have been pretty good. I feel like, that would have been perfect.
I feel like I really missed an opportunity with that. But I did export this video, and I sent it, I put it on the TriCaster, so if Alex wants to play that, we'll see how it came out.
See, you removed the sticker.
That's how... It doesn't stand a chance. It's the diabetes. Diabetes makes it very difficult to run.
Always blame the diabetes. Then you have to hold it over your head.
Yep, thought I was going to be all cool showing off my water cooler skills.
You still got it everywhere.
I'm pretty sure Padre planned that to happen.
Oh, did he put some water in the thing before you dropped it in? Is that what it was?
He claims innocence, but there is like a little bit of water left in there, which I wasn't aware of.
Padre's a prankster. I could see him doing that. I could see him setting you up.
He seemed genuinely surprised, but I'm still
I was surprised
skeptical.
Watching it. That's for sure.
But no, so these mobile apps are great for if, you know, you have a few camera shots, a video that people just send you and you can throw those clips together. Yeah. You don't have to like pull it down onto a computer and export it. And
so good. So good. And you know, as you saw from that clip that you put together, it looks pretty clear. It looks pretty crisp. Like it sounded good. You know, that, you know, okay, if you just want to like share a Snapchat real quick, it's going to look a little crummy. It's not going to have, and you can share a laugh with your friends. Yeah. But this is something that like looks great. Like this is something I'd be proud of sharing with my friends, even though it's you might not want to
because it's
you covered in water.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a little bit easier when you're the one embarrassed not versus me or whatever. But you know, this is the kind of thing that like you'd want to share with folks and friends, and even maybe even keep on your, you know, whatever cloud service you're using so you can watch it later.
Yeah, no, that's what I like about having these apps available is that there's a lot of things that may, you know, you may have captured but then never shared because it was such a pain of trying to like upload to YouTube separately and stuff.
Yep.
That a lot of these apps make it easy enough to just play around and get the content out and have these memories that you made. But sometimes if you're shooting or like if I'm doing a product review or something like that and I want to use my phone for like taking photos or video, I get something like this. This is a little Stan from Joby. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but
they
made the GorillaPods and stuff.
Yeah.
And so
These are great. And this is the sort of thing that you could easily like fold up really quickly, throw in your backpack, throw in your purse, you know, whatever works, and kind of take with you on a vacation, but also like leave it home.
Yeah. And, you know, having something like this to kind of steady the camera is kind of the biggest part because a shaky cam, you know, sometimes it's unavoidable, but you can use these little tools and stuff to kind of negate that. And so, like, if I'm using this at home, I can just, you know, pan side to side, and nobody will be any the wiser that I'm using my phone to record stuff as I'm, like, doing a slow pan or zooming in and stuff. So these are kind of like cool. You can look around on Joby or any other kind of stands, but if you're going to be doing a lot of photography or videography with your phone, you're going to want to look at like getting a little stand with like a little slide. I've seen ones where you can do like a glide or get, you know, like something like the Osmo where it does the stabilization and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can get pretty trick just having the phone and then, you know, using a stabilizer outside of that.
That's great. I love how smooth that head is there. I mean, that can really give you that kind of that look as though you have that big expensive, you know, gliding track for your camera or something.
Yeah, I like using these a lot. So I think we've pretty much covered the basics. We've given you a few ideas for apps that you can use to edit the video that you take, a few tips to shoot that video, like lower thirds and white balance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And now that you have those tools, people should get out there, make some videos, show us how you make videos using just your phone. I'd like to see some of that.
Yeah, and if you have the videos or if you have some apps that you like that we didn't talk about or if you have some tips on shooting, other basics and principles, where would be a great place to share that stuff?
Well, you could either contact us directly because I get a lot of messages on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think we were doing the cloud storage episode and people were like, well, you know, you forgot that actually Google does photos for free if you lower the resolution on them, which I thank you for pointing out.
That's
I forget who that was, but
it's a good point.
It was on Twitter. I'm at @cranky_hippo if you want to find me on there. You're at @NateOG.
Nate OG. That's cool. Yeah.
But another place to share your projects and things would be the Google Plus community. That's the best place to post videos and projects and things like that. Just go to Google Plus and then search for KnowHow. It'll come right up.
Yeah, super vibrant community. There's always a conversation happening there, it seems like.
So we're going to get to some more video stuff in just a sec, how to shoot with an action cam and some of the different mounts. But before we do that, we're going to take a break.
Previously on Twit.
Lego is releasing a new kit that's going to help kids to learn how to program their own projects in creative ways.
These are traditional Lego bricks. What the app has is a version of Scratch. And if you move these little blocks of code together, things will happen. And kids figure this out really quickly.
Can you program it to pick up all the Lego that are all over your floor?
2.0. It's going to have to be
iOS today.
You're in a restaurant. Yep. You're kind of thinking, like, I want to see my food before it comes to the table. You want to see the food at Tavern 62?
Yeah.
Look at
that. And this is exactly the kind of food I can eat on a fast.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
So, Mac Break Weekly.
Yes, The Rock did make a movie with Siri.
Hey, Siri. You're the best.
Thanks, Mr. Big, Bald, and Beautiful.
Call me Mr. Big, Bald, and Beautiful. Oh, I got bold. I like Big, Bold, and Beautiful. Siri, nice choice.
Twit, why didn't I get your mass text? I'm in your contacts.
They really put the extra effort into this here. So you've got the pit stains, you've got the Darth Vader helmet, the scissor lift to nowhere.
Can I say that's one of my favorite kinds of like shots when they have to rent super expensive camera and lighting equipment just to put on a set.
All right, so we've talked about phone editing apps, but now and how to shoot with your phone. Yeah. But one of the places I do not want to put my phone is outside on a car, you know, or
Amen.
Like in a precarious kind of spot, or actually drop it into a pool or something like that.
Amen to all that. I mean, phones are expensive enough as it is.
Yes,
I don't want to have to buy a new one.
No,
I don't have to lay out $700 for that. I really like my car also. I don't want to get in an accident as I'm trying to hang my phone out the window trying to get that cool shot. We're not going to go there. I don't play around with these things. And I recently bought a car, and I've been thinking, okay, I want to get some GoPros, you know, might want to take a cool little shots, do some windy roads, some twisties or whatever out there. How many cameras do I, you know, need to get? Where's the placement? All of these things.
Right.
Luckily, this is stuff you've done, stuff you've thought about.
Yeah.
And you basically offered some of your wisdom and shared that with me this week.
Yeah. So I've been doing, I mean, I think I got my first GoPro probably like 4 or 5 years ago. And that was like my first introduction to an action cam where you can, you know, throw it into a pool where you can drop it, run over it, and it'll be fine. You can put it in positions that you wouldn't normally put like a more expensive camera.
Yeah, you're not going to hang your DSLR off your motorcycle and you're going to be leaning super low to the concrete. Like, not going to happen.
And, you know, I don't want to just say that I'm a GoPro user specifically. It's just the one that I have mounts and things for. There's plenty of other ones that have come out that are really nice and cheaper too, but that's the one I'm going to be focusing on today just because I have all these different mounts, which is the benefit of these action cameras, is having all these different ways to apply it to whatever, you know, your canvas is that you're working with, which happened to be your car when we were...
Well, my car and your motorcycle, to be clear. I have a Toyota 86.
Mm-hmm. And I have a CBR 600. And, you know, cars and bikes, that you have to kind of approach them a little bit differently.
Yep.
The things I've learned taking action camera footage is if that you have the camera up high, you capture a lot of things because there's a wide angle of view. But what ends up happening is things kind of look slow because you're so far away. So if you lower the spot that you have it, like say closer to the ground and you're in a vehicle or something that's moving relatively fast, it'll look even faster because of the perspective.
Yeah. Makes sense.
If you're using an action cam, the worst thing you can do is just set it up in one place and then just leave it there for, you know, an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a good idea to kind of move spots, or if you have multiple cameras. We had three total that we were using. I was using a Hero Black, and we had a Silver that we were using, and then I had my old, ancient, now Hero 2, all of which I had set to 1080 at 30 frames per second, which is, you know, decent.
Yeah, it's pretty smooth. I mean, they have some that'll do, you know, 60 frames per second, 4K. Those are great options, of course. But 1080 30 is not bad. It's definitely YouTubeable if you want to go that route.
It is. It is. I prefer, if I'm going to be doing something that's quick movement, you know, like motorcycle riding.
The higher the frame rate, the better.
Higher the frame rate, the better. It seems to upload better if you send that to YouTube. Like, you get more detail and stuff like that.
Yeah, smoother shots.
Smoother shots, yeah, definitely. And that's another thing. Be careful where you place it, because if there's a lot of vibration, that's not going to look good.
Yeah, so you don't want that.
For me, if I put it on... My favorite place, if I'm riding on my motorcycle, is to put it on my helmet. Because my helmet is kind of my point of view, which is usually what I'm trying to translate, is like, what's it like to be what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But also, your head acts as like a stabilizer. So I don't have, if I put this on like my frame, or I put this on my swing arm, there's going to be a lot of vibration. Like, it's okay, but every time I hit a bump, you're going to notice
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas like on my helmet, it'll kind of like...
Yeah, your body's almost acting as this the shock absorber, so to speak.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But so to take a look at a few of the mounts. My all-time favorite is the suction cup mount. I've used these ones, this one's specifically from GoPro, but I've used these... going pretty high rate of speed. I won't say how fast, but enough that
on a track sometimes.
Yes, on a
responsibly,
track.
Absolutely. You know, we're not getting fast and furious here on the public highway.
No, absolutely not. I totally back safe traffic responsibility, you know. But this will work really great if you have a painted flat surface. This thing will be rock solid.
Yeah, we put this one yesterday on my car. On what we put on the side, kind of just behind the front left wheel.
Yep.
We put it on the front and the trunk.
And then we put it on the trunk, and we put it on the roof. Where we did have an issue was on your trunk.
It wasn't super flat.
It wasn't super flat. So where you can get into trouble using the suction cup is if there's ever like a slight grade or a crease or something like that.
A curved surface.
Right, that breaks the suction that it has on the bottom there. That's where you'll run into where it feels solid, and then as air slowly pockets in, it
lifts off. And we actually did have a couple moments yesterday where... We drove. Thankfully, it was just a few hundred feet, or like half a block, or in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And we thought this was all good, and then they fell off. And that's okay. These things are kind of built like tanks, really, and they can handle the abuse. You know, hey, the plastic might get scratched up or something.
That's what it's there for.
Exactly.
But then to be careful about that sort of thing is the case is pretty bulky. This is the older case, so it's definitely bigger than the newer GoPros, but. What I like to do is I 3D printed this cage for my GoPro Hero 3 Black. So, because when I was attaching it to my helmet or something, it was just so bulky to have the plastic cage around it. So
this is lighter weight as well.
Lighter weight, if you're putting it on your helmet, which I would, you know, It's enough that the aerodynamic is going to make a difference. If you have it on the side of your helmet, it's going to kind of yank the side of your helmet a little bit. But if you have it on the front, it's not so bad, and it's not so bulky with this 3D printed design that I came up with. So that works really well. And, you know, if you're going to be mounting this inside of a car, this sort of small, thin cage is better because we put it also on your windshield facing us. So we
That's
had
right.
like
I forgot of, about that.
A comedians in cars kind of look. So it's good for tight spaces that you don't necessarily have to worry about it getting wrecked, you know, like if it's outside. And then one of the other mounts that I have is this is called the Chesty.
All right.
This is one that you would you put the GoPro on the front here, and then it'll sit on your chest. I've used this a little bit. It's okay for motorcycle riding, but when you lean over, you basically just get a view of the tank.
not necessarily ideal.
No.
I've seen people take these on runs.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people wear these on hikes.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of different, and that's one of the things that's pretty cool about this stuff is, you know, if you have some of these, you know, and maybe you don't have a car or motorcycle like we do, or maybe you're just not into shooting those sorts of things, that's okay. They're pretty versatile. There's a lot of different options you can use them for.
Yeah. Well, and like I said earlier, if you don't have a helmet, but you want to use your head as a stabilizer, there's also the head. You can look really cool. with this, nobody will ever notice that there's a camera on your head.
And it basically uses a mount to sit in there like that.
So if you don't mind looking like a dork, that's actually not a bad place to mount it, depending if you're doing like some sort of action sport,
you know,
like running or
swimming.
And also you can pick up a lot of these like aftermarket parts, basically.
Third
parties. I think I bought this big kit that came with all these stickers and extra parts and stuff for not too much on Amazon.
Yeah, I noticed on your bike you had a couple of these sticky mounts just placed there all the time. So you can just swap in and put a camera as you see fit.
Yeah, no, these are solid. I would recommend wherever you are planning on placing one of these stickers, make sure that it's clean and make sure that you are okay with never removing it. Because once you put it on there...
Will it take some paint?
It would probably take some paint. I've been able to take like a hairdryer and kind of warm them up and then peel them back off of things that I don't want to like rip the paint off of.
In the past, I've used a hairdryer, but I've also used like dental floss to remove emblems that are stuck onto cars and things like that, little decals. I don't know if that'd be strong enough for this. This seems like it might...
They're pretty strong.
Might not give.
You might, if you know, a combination of like dental floss and a hair dryer. Just to like kind of get it up
the dental floss will kind of get in between in surfaces that you're not going to be able to get to yourself.
Right.
And the hair dryer will heat things up, kind of loosen up and offer some give there.
And so like for me, I have one of these on my fairing. I have one of these on my swing arm, but I'm okay with that because I dropped my bike and it's, you know, it's not...
Just a couple little scrapes. It actually looks pretty good.
But it does have a couple of scratches. I wouldn't recommend putting one of these on your car, which is like pristine.
So. Yeah, I got like a pearl white and the car's brand new.
It's pretty.
So I don't think I want to do that yet.
Yeah.
But... so I might stick with a suction right now.
Suction cups are probably your best bet.
Yeah, for now.
But
placing one of these maybe say like on a you know, that rear quarter window in a place that isn't super in your view or being disruptive as you're driving, even that could make sense.
Yeah, totally. So we've talked about the mounts that we used, but we should probably take a look at the footage that we shot using the different cameras. So this was mounted on your inside windshield facing towards us.
Yeah, this is the, like you said, that comedians in cars view.
This is
carpool karaoke.
The rear quarter panel of your car. And you can see, like, if you keep it a little bit lower, you get that sense of speed of things going by.
You have more detail for the asphalt, and you can see it moving quicker. This is the overhead view and the wider view, and definitely doesn't look as fast. Still looks fast, but not as fast.
But you get, like, you see everything, but it doesn't look as, you know, action-y or whatever.
I like this view right behind my left front tire, because you can see the tire turning, you can see the wheels, and you get the road.
And then we also did the roof facing backwards. So we basically did like a few loops around the block just to kind of get some of these shots.
Yeah, and that shot was particularly cool because you were following me and I was able to see you behind.
Right, and this is pretty much my favorite one because this is like from my point of view.
The helmet view, yeah.
And then this is when I mounted it on the swing arm. You get that like cool perspective, but you got to remember every time you hit a bump, it's going to be jostled and things like that. Yeah, I took all the footage, and it would be, I know, you have to, like, cut down to the highlights, but, you know, here's, like, a little action, you know, segue.
You popping wheelies. That is so cool. I was so excited to see that, by the way.
And you got to throw down some of the techno music, too, and and for some of the long stretches, you can kind of speed up clips and stuff, but we had fun, but, you shoot all this stuff, and then you got to cut it together to kind of make it feel more action-y than it really was.
Yeah. This is great. I really like the way this came together. Just out of curiosity, what app did you use to edit all this together in?
This, I actually used Adobe Premiere.
Downloaded
all the footage and then threw them all down on the timeline and basically just cut between the cameras. So we only had three cameras, but the way you can kind of cut around is you match them up. If you do the same loop a few times, it makes it seem like you had all these cameras going at the same time.
Yeah, it could feel like you have four or five or six cameras. One of the things that's great here is, you know, you can get that wide shot maybe as your main shot or whatever. Then you can play with the different angles as kind of what we call B-roll to switch things up, make it a little bit more interesting. It was nice how, you know, when you were popping the wheelie, you had your perspective, but then you also had the perspective from, like, my fenders or something like that, my quarter panels, and then you could see you going by, and then you had the wide shot when you were, like, landing and taking off. So kind of, you know, getting a little artistic with it, finding your composition, finding the story you want to tell, so to speak.
Exactly.
But a way to mix it up and make it feel like you have a lot more cameras than you do, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And because we had done the same loop a couple of times.
Yeah, I think, like, we did that loop 3 times altogether, right?
And we would just move the cameras around a little bit, and then I would, you know, I'd kind of match it up to make it look like they're all recording all at one time, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it came out all right for the limited amount of time we had, but...
Yeah, I mean, our actual time on the road, because this was just, you know, just around the block, I mean, like, I think it probably took a half hour at most.
Yeah, totally.
And the editing, how much time do you think that took?
That was a rush job. That was probably like 15 minutes,
I think,
to throw
all
that together.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
Pretty short.
Well, one of the things that's cool, too, is about, you know... basically, all you were doing was shifting camera positions, shifting camera views. But looking, since we did the same route 3 times, you knew what the sequence and order was. So you're able to do that quickly. You sped up a couple clips. But even though you're using Premiere Pro, which is, you know, professional high-end software, this is the sort of thing that you could do in a free app or, you know, one of those $20 apps that we mentioned in the first half of the show. So, you know, if you see this and you're like, wow, that looks really great, you can do this at home too by just, you know, laying down your clips, moving them around, kind of seeing what order you like. You want to shorten, want to speed it up. There are always those options in those apps. They're a tap away or a click away.
Yeah.
So you can make this too.
Yeah, and just remember to move the position of the camera around. Keep some variety, and also remember, like, if you keep it low and you're going fast, it'll look more like it's going fast. If you have it up high, it'll kind of make things look slow.
Yeah.
But those are I think we've pretty much covered all the basics and some mounting options for that stuff. So between your phone and if you get an action camera, you should be pretty set. Like, just playing around with some of these apps and trying to edit stuff on your own. And if you do, share it with us. We'd love to see it. But I think that'll do it for this episode. I think that's about everything.
No, this is great because I've been thinking, okay, you know, I want to pick up some GoPros. Where should I place them? You know, how do I get that shot inside the car? Where's the right area for that? Mm-hmm. Where's the right place for that wide angle shot? You know, what's the cool low shot? You know, I didn't even think about putting it right behind the front wheel. That's really neat. So now I kind of feel confident that maybe I could go out and buy maybe 2 or 3 of these myself.
Yeah.
Film a nice road trip or whatever, cut it together. So I was able to learn a lot from you this week for this.
Yeah,
now I feel ready to go.
Hey, the only thing that's left to do now is to get a drone, because then you match up all your action cam footage with, like, some flying trailing shots, you know, behind you and stuff. That would be pretty cool.
That's the next step, clearly.
Yep. Get yourself a DJI Mavic or something. Yeah,
those are pretty neat.
But if you want to find out all the things that we talked about today, or like the apps and some of these mounts and things like that, and you want to find the links for them, you can find those on our website at twit.tv/KH. And not only will you find the links for that sort of stuff, but you'll also find a way to subscribe to the show or download so you don't miss one. But that's not the only place that you can find all our stuff. If you want to interact with us in a community full of what we call know-it-alls that lives on Google+, you can find over 11,000 other like-minded people who are more than willing to help you fix your project or, you know, post a project and answer questions. That's the place where I like to go thumb through and see how people have, like, shown us up on some of the projects we have done. Like, I've seen some pretty cool NES cases that people have done for their Raspberry Pis.
Yeah, 3D printed. Yeah.
3D print. Yeah, a lot of cool 3D printed stuff on the community.
Did Alex almost fall over in the background there?
Yeah, he's just excited about the community.
And if you've hung out there, you know how exciting of a community it is. There's always a conversation. People are sharing stuff. You can learn a lot there. And honestly, a lot of the ideas that for this show sometimes start there.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is like, we can't know everything all at once, but when you get that many people together, there's so many, you know, other people that can answer questions that normally, you know, would just kind of go by the wayside. So definitely check it out. If you want to find out what we're doing behind the scenes, what projects are kind of coming up in the pipeline, the best place to do that is on Twitter, and I am at @cranky_hippo.
And I am at @NateOG.
And we have a third member of the team who sounded like he knocked something over.
I just tripped on something.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I was just coming to fix the framing on your camera. I think it's good now, right?
This is much better. I enjoy this.
I learned from today how to direct it.
See, we taught good. This is rule of thirds here.
Yeah, if you want him in that like lower. Yeah.
This is very avant-garde of you.
It's good a mise en scène.
I like it. But where can people find you if they want, Alex? You don't know?
No, they can't find me.
Oh, yeah. Except it's at ANLEF3.
No, I just can't.
Well, you can find him on Know How. There's that.
That's true.
You can find Alex on Know How.
He sits in the abyss and sets cameras like this. What happened? You just bump it?
No, it's just good framing.
It's just good framing.
I'm applying the knowledge I learned today on the show.
Awesome. I feel like we've imparted a lot of knowledge today.
There's a lot of wisdom being shared here. Great.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap things up.
Let's do it.
And now that you know how to shoot action videos and use your phone, go do it.